Uncertainty and skepticism of this kind leached out from geological engineers in the form of unfavorable press reporting, some of which went so far as to ask whether the American shale gas boom was some sort of Ponzi scheme in which early investors bid up faulty assets and lured in big-money suckers like ExxonMobil. Unconventional gas wells behaved unlike other wells, and their decline and production rates could be hard to calculate. Much about the drilling patterns in these fields remained to be discovered. An individual gas well might lose its productivity much more rapidly in the first year of drilling than an oil well would, but the decline rate on the field is nil because you continue to drill in other sections of the field, as Shell's Simon Henry put it. Yet there was evidence to support the doubters, too. At a minimum, shale gas producers were going to have to communicate with investors more forthrightly than they had done early on about their costs, risks, and profit potential. Wall Street swiftly made clear that it did not approve of Rex Tillerson's decision to buy XTO. It looked to analysts and investors that Tillerson had overpaid for Simpson's company and that ExxonMobil had made risky assumptions about future natural gas prices. Investors hammered ExxonMobil's share price relative to its peer group in a way the corporation had not experienced for many years. Instead of the premium price that ExxonMobil shares had long enjoyed, ExxonMobil stock now sold at a discount. As analysts at Reuters Breaking Views pointed out, during the 7 months after the merger announcement, adjusting for the average 4% decline in the share prices of its peers Royal Dutch Shell and Chevron, ExxonMobil shareholders saw $41 billion disappear from the corporation's total market price, an amount that eerily matched the price Tillerson had paid for XTO. Had ExxonMobil unwisely bought XTO at or near the top of the boom? It was certainly becoming clear that the peak years of 2007 and 2008 had led to reckless overinvestment in American gas leases by large, debt-burdened companies such as Chesapeake Energy. As that excess investment unwound, there would likely be opportunities for bottom feeders to sweep up unconventional gas leases at lower prices than were reflected in the price ExxonMobil paid for XTO. That didn't necessarily mean the merger was a mistake. That would depend on how ExxonMobil exploited XTO's properties and expertise over time. Yet it was another basis for rational doubt. John Watson, the chief executive of rival Chevron, slipped the knife in. "We saw valuations for unconventionals that were a bit out of line with our view of value," he told Wall Street analysts. "So our view wasn't so much that shale gas wasn't a good place to be. It was just the valuations at the time of ExxonMobil's purchase of XTO were strong, so we waited." Mark Gilman, the oil industry analyst at Benchmark Capital, regarded the XTO purchase as a sign that ExxonMobil's long-term failure to build upstream reserves, which he laid mainly at Lee Raymond's door, was at last coming home to roost. Tillerson had little choice but to buy new reserves in a high-price environment because otherwise he would preside over a shrinking corporation, which could reduce ExxonMobil's share price, which could further limit its ability to buy its way out of its dilemma. The price paid for XTO might mean a reduction in ExxonMobil's historical rates of return, but that too was inevitable and even welcome in Gilman's view, if it led to a more successful long-term performance in reserve replacement. "On XTO's purchase price, I don't fault Rex," Gilman said. "It's what you have to do when you have a weak hand." He objected, however, to the specific choice of Simpson's company, which he believed Tillerson had selected too much for cultural and geographic reasons, meaning the similarities in Tillerson's and Simpson's personal backgrounds and the Fort Worth location of XTO headquarters. There were other unconventional gas owners, Devon Energy, for example, that might have paid off better. Dissent bubbled about the XTO deal within important sections of ExxonMobil's executive ranks and alumni networks. Like many acquisitions in commodity industries, the deal's payout would depend substantially on future prices, which nobody could forecast with certainty. According to a valuation prepared by Barclays Capital, without accounting for ExxonMobil's potential to extract extra value from XTO's reserves through engineering prowess, if natural gas prices remained as low as $5 per thousand cubic feet through 2014 and beyond, XTO might be worth only between $21 and $30 per share, a fraction of what ExxonMobil had paid. At least a few current and former senior executives worried about whether ExxonMobil could produce XTO's gas profitably, even if gas prices did break out of their doldrums. Privately, according to some accounts, Tim Cheka argued that if he had been allowed to pay for exploration leases at the high per-unit prices that ExxonMobil had accepted in the price it paid for XTO, he would have more organic or ExxonMobil-discovered gas to show for his efforts. Cheka denied in a brief telephone interview that any serious dispute developed over this rate of return issue. In any event, ExxonMobil's record during his time as head of exploration, at least toward the end of his tenure, was poor, whether it was his fault or not. By late 2009, it became apparent that Tim Cheka's big forays into exploration and land leasing in Europe, at least, would not produce any early bonanzas. ExxonMobil's early drilling yielded many dry holes. As Tillerson admitted, quite frankly, no one has enough information at this point to know whether European unconventional gas would ever pan out. Overall, the corporation's struggle in exploration and development showed no signs of turning around. Its well-drilling failure rates rose by more than a third during 2007 and 2008. Cheka retired, leaving the company soon after the XTO deal closed. The mainstream belief that shale plays have ensured North America an abundant supply of inexpensive natural gas is not supported by facts or results to date, wrote an analyst at The Oil Drum, an independent online energy journal. The supply is real, but it will come at higher cost and greater risk than is commonly assumed. The arrival of ExxonMobil and other major oil companies on the shale gas scene is positive because they will not follow the manufacturing approach and will do the necessary science that should make shale plays more commercial. This does not, however, ensure success. ExxonMobil has come late to the domestic shale party. It is also possible that XTO has already drilled the best areas in more mature shale plays, while the potential of newer plays has not yet been established.